But more than anything, what the world is supposed to see is look at their God who is mighty enough and good enough and love them enough to save them from their sin. Our salvation is meant to make God look great and look big.
His blood has paid the price for our sins so that our sins are wiped clean from the ledger. He has canceled the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, we are told, nailing it to the cross. We are free, friends. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself.
That what has happened, in fact, is God put his sinless son on the cross to die in your stead and in your place.
You are listening to Together in Christ, the teaching ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church.
I am trusting you as a congregation to share the gospel with this community and your neighbors and your family. That's a bigger deal to me. Are you prepared for that? Are you ready for that? Are you being made into the fullness of Christ, into mature manhood, as verse 13 says? Because that is the mission statement of a church. This is what we're supposed to be doing. And so with all of this in mind, we're going to get into our next section of verses 14 through 16, to where Paul is going to talk about a couple things. He wants us to see the benefit of sound teaching. Paul wants us to see the important balance of truth and love and what that really means. And Paul wants to see the whole body growing together, not certain pockets growing, the whole body coming and growing together in Christ. If you're one of those people who are scared to death when you watch the news, if you're one of those people sitting in your pew right now and you are scared to death for the future of the church in America and religious liberty and all these different things, I think you should be paying attention today. And I think you should have been paying attention to what I just talked about at the very beginning of 4. The only way the church will maintain, number one, by the grace of God, and God's going to do that, but is if we stick to doing what he's told us to do. Not getting distracted, but stick to this, being faithful to this, the word of God. So look at verses 14 through 16, and I don't know if we'll get through all this today. I don't know, we'll see. It says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Our first focus will be on verse 14 there, and the benefit of sound teaching, because that's really what was being talked about in 11, 12, and 13 is, as these people who fill these roles of evangelists, teachers, pastors, as they equip the saints and teach the saints, we do see a benefit there. And the benefit is what verse 14 tells us, that we're no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, right? This is the benefit of sound teaching. As pastors, as teachers within the church, do what they are supposed to do, then the saints of God are built up. And as the saints of God do the things that they are supposed to do and minister to each other, this is what happens. It protects us from being tossed about in this world. It helps us to stay firm, and it helps us to stay focused on Christ, what we are to be focused on. And so when we do these things well, what you see is you see a steadiness within the church. You see a steadiness in church life. This is one of the things that's been difficult during COVID. COVID created an unsteadiness, a very unsteadiness, to where now when you see somebody out and about and you're like, oh, I haven't seen you in church in a while, it's super unsteady and awkward. Why haven't I seen you? Well, I'm scared or whatever. I'm still nervous. But then you feel awkward. Why? Because you're at a ball game with 1,000 people and they're there. Right? And it's like, I don't really know how to respond. And you don't know what to do. See, there's been an unsteadiness created within church life. And despite what people think about COVID or vaccines or all these other things, what has happened is an unsteadiness in the life of the church. And we have seen proof of this verse being held very true, that there are those who have been tossed completely out by the craftiness of things and schemes of the devil. It's just true. It's happened. I mean, you can look around and I know you see it as well. And it's difficult. But that doesn't mean we change our focus of sound teaching. We have to teach the importance of coming together as the body of Christ. We gotta continue to be steady as a church in these things. Within the body, showing humility to each other, loving each other, being unified on Christ. Not on other things, but on Christ. It's heartbreaking. I talk to other pastors. I see it. There are churches who've been decimated because of masks. What a dumb reason to be decimated. I'm serious. Whether the church said you have to wear a mask or whether the church said you don't have to wear a mask, either way, dumb reason for a church to be decimated. Dumb. That's not centered on Jesus then. It's centered on something else. There's a different center there. You can think it is, whatever it might be, but that is not being centered on Christ if that's going to decimate a church. Well, why does that happen? I would say because there are children being tossed to and fro. That is a weakness. Really? We're gonna fight over this? We're gonna be separated over something like this? No, when we're taught well, when we're centered on Christ, what you see is you see a joy in the fellowship. You see a commitment to corporate gatherings. You see a willingness to lay yourself down for your fellow church member, whatever that might be. Why? Because you love them and you want there to be peace. Beyond anything, I want there to be peace that is centered on Christ. Why? Because I don't want the gospel to be affected in our community because of our fighting that's going on here, because of the silliness that's happening here. Me and Pastor Scott were talking about that, about the Southern Baptist Convention right now. You can look this up on your own and you can ask me questions later. I don't want to go into it a lot. But right now, to the world, if they follow social media and Southern Baptist Convention, just foolishness. Just utter foolishness. And it's not over doctrine. It's not over theology. It's not over anything like that. It's over money. It's over some other things that are important. But it's not about the gospel. And so the outside world sees it, and no wonder they mock. No wonder there's just all these distractions, because we're not centered on what we are supposed to be centered on. And I think that's because we start to get away from the important thing being sound teaching. It starts to become other. It starts to become other things that become important to the church. And we're not supposed to see that. We're not supposed to see a church membership that is swayed back and forth between current church fads or the current doctrinal desertion. No, we're supposed to be rooted and grounded so that we're not tossed back and forth in the waves of society. But yet, you see it far too often. If you're in here today and you were born in the 50s maybe, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, I'll group all those together. I don't really know where I stand in generation. I don't know if I'm a millennial or not. I know they make fun of them a lot. Could be me, I guess. I was born in 82. I'm always right on the line. Not sure. But when I look back at past generations, it's pretty intriguing to me, the fads, the church fads that really have happened. And again, my mind goes to the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. And the fad was this: let's make church less churchy. That's the fad that you're a part of. That's the fad that I've seen my whole life. It's what I've heard my whole life. I was even taught that here many times. If you want your friends to come to church, you got to help them to see it's not so churchy. That we're just people. That we like to do the things they like to do. And so you start to have things and you do programs which might be good programs, but they really are just trying to replicate something the world is doing. You know, a program that I actually really enjoyed growing up RAs, just replicated Boy Scouts. That was a lot of it, but we threw some Bible in there, right? We'll do that with church Zumba classes. They do Zumba out there. Look, we do Zumba in here, but we throw a little Bible verse on it. They have a softball team. We have a softball team. They play basketball. Look, we play basketball. We do all this stuff. Why? Because we don't want to seem so churchy. We want everybody to be able to come in here and feel extremely comfortable. And so what you see is you see things like people don't talk about preaching anymore. We talk about talks, discussions. I just want to have a discussion with you today, right? Because that's better language. It's more comforting. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here just to help you. I'm here to help you in your life. I want things to be better. All of a sudden, your church decor becomes very different. Your buildings start to change because we don't want people to think they're walking into a church. We want to trick them. We want them to think they're walking into a doctor's office. We want them to think they're walking into a gym or a school where fun things happen, and then we're going to say, hey, now you got to sing, and boom, bait and switch. Gotcha. But you're here now. This is the church fad that we have been living in. Our music changes. The structure of our service changes. The programs that we run change. Why? Because we want to be less churchy. That's the only way we can win people, is if we help them to see the church is just as fun as outside the church. I hope you see that there's a problem with that. I hope you realize that we are tasting the fruits of that labor for many decades. That's what we're living in now. The fact is that fad is a bad fad. We are the church of Jesus Christ. And what that means is we are different. We have been set apart. We are different from the world. Jesus would say in John 15, 19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. It seems like this was our goal. For decades, it seems like this was our goal. We want the world to love us. We want the world to see how cool we are, how much like them we are. It's just, we have Jesus too. Jesus says, what does he say? But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. He goes on in John 17, verses 15 to 18. He says, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Now we could talk about, what does that mean that Jesus was sent into the world? He was sent into the world to be very different. He was sent in the world to be poor, to be ridiculed, to be shamed, to constantly be teaching the truth, to constantly be loving everybody he came into contact with, but then to watch those same people kill him, to turn their back on him, to crucify him, to put him into a grave. Now, what we cannot do is we cannot rise from the dead. But Jesus is very clear. You're not of the world, and you are going to live a life like me, where you're going to bear your cross daily and follow me. And it seems to me what the church fad has been for decades, and the reason I include 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s is because some of you older folk, who I love very dearly, like to pick on millennials. They're following you. They just do it better than you. They know how to incorporate themselves into this world way better than you ever did. And so that's the problem. It's been going on for a very, very, very long time, and we continue to face the struggles that we face. Why? Because sadly, much of the salt is no longer salty. It's not salty. There's no difference. I've been to people's houses before and they have heart problems. I'm like, you guys got any salt? You got any salt? Yeah, I got this salt. This is the salt I use. It's like this special salt. It's not salt. You put it on, you're like, nothing. Nothing. What is this garbage? Don't give me this. I want salt. Morton's salt. Just give me some of the real stuff. I'm afraid that's what many churches have become. What is this? I don't notice anything different. There's no change to this at all. There's no effect. Nothing is happening here. And then the church goes, what's going on? Well, why isn't this working? It's because we've removed what works. The understanding that we are different. And so I think what the result has been is the world looks at us and they say, yeah, you're a lot like us, but you're just a little more stuck up than us. You just got a few more rules than us, and that's why you're just not really us. We don't really like you. We don't really dislike you, but we don't really like you either. You're just not fitting in. And so we find ourselves in a weird spot, don't we? The culture that we thought we could impact by becoming like them, instead, we're no different than them. We are them. And so just like outside these walls, you have people, neighbors, who will despise each other because of what sign is in their front yard saying who they're voting for, even though they've been neighbors for 40 years. And they got along for a long time, but now they absolutely despise each other. You have the same thing in churches. I hate you, and you hate me, because we don't see eye to eye. There's no difference here. The bond of peace seems to be broken. The center that is supposed to be Christ seems to be something else far too often. And again, I'm not just trying to say that everything the churches have done from the 50s until now is wrong. No, I understand much of it, and I think it was done for very good reasons. I do. I think it was for a love for people. I think they wanted to see people come to know Christ. I do. I don't doubt that for a second. But I just think we kind of got off centered. We kind of got off centered, and now we're seeing that played out. I can bring something closer to home if I haven't already. The way I see this play out in our context is this. I didn't see you. I haven't seen you for the past few weeks. Oh yeah, you know, we've been going to so-and-so church, and then we come back to your church, and then we like to bounce back and forth. It's like, what? It's like, okay. And it's a hard spot to be in, I think, as a pastor, because I think sometimes they think you just want them for your own numbers, which I don't really care about. But I think that's heartbreaking, because we're a Baptist church with some pretty specific doctrines that we hold to, and that church you're going to is some very different doctrines, some very key theological concepts that are different. How can you go there and then go here without that being a bother? That's not a big deal. I like their music. Off center. Their pastor's just, there's something about him I just really like. Off center. Pastor Tim, I just really like when you preach, so sometimes I like to come hear you speak, but then I like to go. Off center. That's off center. That's not focused on what we're supposed to be focused on. That's not being the body of Christ that God has called us to be. And this is a huge sign of the childishness in our faith. The weakness, the immaturity that we really have. Now, don't get me wrong. There are other denominations that are great. They're great. I would stand hand in hand with them in many things. Many things. And I love it. I love that they're a church. I love that they're growing, whatever it might be. It is great. But we start to water down the truth of doctrine, the truth of theology. And what are we doing? We are watering down the Word of God, which is the thing that God has told us keeps us centered. When He gives us these roles, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, what was their function? The Word, nothing else. The Word. When the apostles were brought, when stuff was brought to their attention, hey, there's women here going hungry. What are you going to do about it? What did they say? We're not going to do anything about it. The church can do something about it. Let's appoint some men to go do something. But what we're doing, the word of God, is very important, more important than that. That's just a stunning statement to hear in our culture today. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? Pastor Tim, my dad died. Yeah, I'm too busy. What do you mean? I have to preach on Sunday. I gotta be in the word of God. I don't have time. You know what? I'm gonna have a deacon go. I'm gonna ask somebody else to go. That person's leaving the church. I can tell you right now, that person is leaving the church. That would be an astonishing statement for them to hear, for somebody to hear. I just say that because the word of God is that important. That is what keeps us together. That is what binds us together. That's what allows us to know God and who he is, to hear the truths about who he is, about his attributes. This is what we go through on Sunday nights. We've been going through the attributes of God. We know this because of his word that he has given us, and we stand on that. And I am convinced that the only way to change the current trend, the current fad that churches seem to be going, is to get centered back on the word of God. That's said all the time. You're gonna be hard pressed to find a Protestant church, evangelical church, that somewhere on their website doesn't say something like, we teach the word of God, or we stand on the word of God. But it doesn't take long to dive into a church and to realize, do they really do this? Are the people humble? Are they gentle with each other? Do they have a bond of peace that is centered on Christ and the things that Christ has called the church to do? Do they love the word of God? Do we really see it? Are they in Bible study together? At their corporate gathering, are they actually coming together corporately and listening and sitting under the word of God and being changed by the word of God? That's where the difference lies in it. Well, I see our time. I don't have time to finish the rest. We'll finish it next week. And I know this has been heavy. I don't apologize for that, I guess. I don't want to lie. I just struggle because I look at the culture and then I look at the church and I see the church railing against the culture. And I think, church, it's your fault you are where you are. It's not the culture. The culture in Ephesus at the time was debauchery and horrible. They were sinners of sinners of sinners. But yet God was working there. They were still a church being called to faithfulness. And yes, in America, we are entering a time where our sin seems to be put forward much more than before, maybe. I don't know, because when I look in our past, I still see a lot of sin. Yes, it's out there. Yes, it's being pushed up against the church. And yes, we have fears of what does that mean for the church? But I have to tell you, it doesn't change the strategy and the goal of the church. It is still our job to do what we were called to in verses 11 through 13. We need to raise up people to mature manhood in the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. And this can only be done through the word of God. And so my hope and prayer is that you will commit to that. That you will commit to yourself the word of God. That you would read it yourself. That you would commit yourself to be here under the teaching of the word of God. I would love it if all of you were here on Sunday nights. The attributes of God are just amazing. And I would love for you to be here. I put just as much time into that message as any other. I dare say it's decent, okay? It's decent, at least. But we need to get back to committing to the word of God. I read somewhere this week, during the Reformation time, those men, as they were leading the Reformation, they didn't see it this way. They were trying to reform the Catholic Church. They were preaching 6-7 times a week. I can't imagine doing that. Don't ask me to do that. I'll quit. That's what they did. And the people came, and God used that to a great benefit to us today. A change happened that swept around the world. And how did it sweep through the world? Through the word of God being taught and preached and encouraged to be read by the common folk. It's the word of God that makes those impact. And the only way that we're going to see an impact in our culture is with the word of God. Not giving in to lies, not giving in to the craftiness and the deceitfulness and the schemes of man, but staying true to what God and his word tells us to do very clearly, and that is to be people of his word who come together and love each other through Christ always. So I hope that you'll be able to commit to that here in church life. I hope that you'll do that at home and on your own. And again, I don't say that so that our church numbers go up. Of course, I'd love to see that. But I say that so that we all can attain to mature manhood in Christ. That's our goal. That's what we want to see. That's our vision. That's our mission statement. But it can only be done when we work together, centered on the Word of God.
This message is made available to you by Together in Christ. To listen to the rest of this message and others, or for more information, please visit us online at mmbconline.org. If you listen to podcasts, you can find us on most platforms by searching for Together in Christ. This has been Together in Christ, the teaching ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church, where biblically sound teaching and explanation is applied for living today.